Welcome to the Nerd Sack Podcast. I am your host along with my co-host, first time ever of me doing this, but my name is Justin Arredondo.
I'm Mimi.
And we are hosting the Nerdcast, or the Nerd Sack Podcast. I guess that's the best way to call it, right? The Nerd Sack Podcast, yeah. No, this is the first show. It's going to all sound very jumbly, very everywhere, because we're doing this live from the Irvine Spectrum.
That's right, here at the mall.
So we're going to have a lot of people staring, a lot of people looking, and we're just introducing ourselves on this episode just so you get an idea of what this podcast is about. A lot of geek stuff, a lot of nerd stuff, a lot of funny stuff. Let me just start by, let's talk to Mimi, so you can, you know, people who know me, but let's introduce Mimi. Mimi, tell us about you.
Thank you so much, first of all, for inviting me onto this, and I just want to start by saying, you know, I am fairly new to the comedy scene. My background is really, I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, actually, so I haven't really been doing this for very long, but a few months ago I started doing open mics, and I'm really into it, and I'm really digging it, and I've always loved everything nerdy and everything that comes in a sack, so... You know, I'm enjoying myself so far.
Yeah, nerds and sacks. Now, by the way, I just want a disclosure for anyone who knows me personally. She is not my marriage therapist, so I didn't pull her out of the therapy to get her into this. I actually met you doing the open mic here at the Irvine Improv with Mommy Burger. It's been actually a lot of fun. I think I'm on my, like, seventh or eighth week doing it here straight. I'm enjoying it. What brought you to the Umami Burger? What made you want to get in to, well, here? What made you want to come here?
Yeah. Well, so I actually live in the area, and I found out about this open mic a while back, but I hadn't really had a chance to come out because I was working. I actually was working at a psychiatric hospital and also in my private practice. What ended up happening was just a few weeks ago now, I quit my job at the psych hospital. I still do private practice under a different name, which is actually my real name is Misa, and my last name is Butsuhara, but I go by my stage name Mimi. And I, you know, decided, well, I've got a lot more time now to pursue this. In fact, I quit so that I could pursue comedy. And so I've been coming out ever since, which has been a couple months now, and I'm really enjoying it. And what attracted me to it was I really like the way it's run. I like the host, Friendly Frank. He's super nice. He's friendly and he's frank, and we appreciate that about him. And then the other thing, too, is that I feel as though there are so many talented people here in Orange County to collaborate with, and I was really glad to meet you, Justin, as one of those people that, you know, opened up your podcast, invited me to join in, and that was really cool of you, and I think having a spirit of collaboration is important when you're involved in the arts.
Yeah, I think so. You know, like when I was doing the pro wrestling stuff and doing the podcast on my own, I remember feeling lonely in my car, so that was number. I'm gonna invite you in my car, though, by the way, to make you do podcasting there. No, I'm just gonna make you sit by a loud fountain in a Starbucks. We'll be good. But yeah, no, I think that you know, working with other comedians, working with other people in any entertainment form, you learn, you grow that way. You steal ideas without really noticing it, but you do it, you know, and it's just, that's how you grow. So this podcast, you know, I wanted to do this as kind of like a first, selfish reasons. We're going to promote ourselves, right? We're going to get out there and entertain everyone. But second off, you know, I wanted to bring a podcast that I think that gives a form to the real nerds, you know, like gives it like the trendy nerds, like this whole Pokemon Go thing. Like, I think, like, you know, if you had asked people like 20 years ago about Pokemon, I think like a third of them liked Pokemon. I don't know what it was that drove people to download this game, get all crazy about it, but that's kind of what I mean. Like, I want to bring out the original fans.
Wait, is Pokemon making a comeback?
Well, that Pokemon Go, do you have it?
No.
Yeah, I actually downloaded the damn thing.
It sounds kind of interesting. I mean, I was one of the original generation of Pokemon. Like, I was born in the 80s, so Pokemon was, like, popular. Actually, wait, no. I don't think I was in the generation of Pokemon. Were you?
You know, I don't know. You know, I wasn't huge into Pokemon. That's the thing. I was in school. I remember kids playing Pokemon. I wasn't into the card games. I remember that's what threw me off. Like, I didn't play Magic. I didn't play, what was the other one that everyone played? There's a couple others. But anyway, you know what I mean. Like, it was like Dungeons and Dragons, maybe, I think was another card. No, that was a board game. But anyway, Pokemon was like a collect. I was into Pogs. But Pokemon was kind of like secondary to that. And this new game that came out, I guess they're saying is the most downloaded app in the history of apps. And it happened within 2 days. It debuted last Wednesday. And what it is basically it takes a real-life forum. You hold your phone out and you follow, you're hooked up with Google Maps. So what happens is you just kind of follow along and you see Poke spots and stuff. And then a Pokemon will appear. You click on that Pokemon and you catch him in real life. So he'll appear like right there on the fountain or right here on the floor next to you or on your partner's shoulder or whatever, and you flick Pokeballs at it, catch it, and you know, and that's basically the gist of it.
Well, you know, I don't know anything about Pokemon, but I do know quite a bit about My Little Pony, and there's a whole following there. They're called bronies, and I'm hoping we can talk about bronies and explore that a little further.
You know, I don't know any. Do you know bronies? I don't know any bronies.
I don't know any, but I know of them. I feel like they're like unicorns where, like, you hear about them, but you never see them.
I don't think I'd admit it.
Actually, you're right. If I met one, I'd probably be kind of freaked out by it because, honestly, there's no reason why a man would really be into it other than just, I don't know.
I've heard sick reasons as to why that there's a possibility that they like it.
You mean the brony porn?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Never seen it, I swear. That's not something I download. It's hard for me to think that, like, I have a daughter, so I would never take her to a convention for My Little Ponies. Just because I feel like it's surrounded by pervs now. I think they ruined it.
I think they ruined My Little Pony. It was such an innocent thing. I had a whole bunch of them. They were little horses with you know, little designs on them. And ponytails, different colors, but now it's become this perverse thing, and it's interesting because I feel like that's happened with, you know, the new popularity of people dressing up as animals, the furries, you know, people that go to Comic-Con and do cosplay. There's all sorts of subsection of weirdness that goes along with it, which is fine. We like weird things.
You know, the thing is like, I'm a huge geek for a lot of stuff. I just don't. Those people dedicate some time to those costumes, to being a brony, to being a furry was the term. And the furry is what? The stuffed animal thing, right? Like they dress up like a stuffed animal and then they have sex?
Right. They actually have sex in the costume. And the issue I take with that is too hot and sweaty for me. I mean, let's face it. When you're doing it, you're getting hot and sweaty. Do you really need like a thick layer of polyester fur all over your body?
I feel like most women that have dealt with me have had that problem.
Right. It's like I've already got something hot and sweaty on me. Yeah. Like, do I need another layer of fur on me? I don't think so.
Let alone the type of suit it could be made of rubber, you know. I already do the Chewbacca yell during it, so it's fine.
Right. Well, see, that's about as animalistic as I think, you know, most women would want it.
Most. Yeah. I would like to hope most that like the Chewbacca sounds. Oh, good God. Okay, so, yeah, like I was saying, though, where was I? Oh, yes, cosplay. I have a friend who's doing one called the Nerdbot Convention coming up, and it is like 90% cosplay, which trips me out because it's kind of like it's turned into now you go to these conventions and, you know, you run into bronies, you run into furries, and now cosplay players who are just as famous now as the characters themselves. Like, I've seen cosplayers selling their 8x10s for $10, and I'm going, are you really that famous? And there's this whole underground world of, like, following cosplayers and being into that sort of thing. And that's what it hit me. That's when I was like, you know what? I'm a real nerd in the sense, like, I don't know all that. Like, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like, when I say I'm a real nerd by not knowing it.
I totally know what you mean. And I almost feel like it's the not knowing that shows your true nerdiness, because it's the not knowing that makes you an outsider, and, you know, that is the true essence of nerdliness.
Yes, thank you. So this is what this podcast is about. We're going to discover things together, and we're going to learn, and this is for the real nerds out there that are not trendy, because Pokemon Go is now trendy. Pokemon's trendy. I remember a day that I would get my ass kicked if I walked into a locker room with Pokemon cards and said, let's play, guys. You know, you get beat up. Now, I'm walking through the mall to come meet you, and I've got, like, literally 50 people surrounding me, and I hear the theme music to the Pokemon. I'm laughing because I'm on it, too. I'm like, holy crap. Like, it's everywhere. And I'm like, that's what I wanted to do this podcast for.
And, you know, something that I kind of want to talk a little bit about with this being our first podcast of the Nerd Sack and discovering all things nerd is, you know, I want to ask you, Justin, when do you think nerds became popular and trendy? Because I have my own theory on this, but I'd really like to hear what you have to say about it first. Like, how did you notice it developing? When did you start noticing it developing? Because there was a time where you'd really get your ass kicked for being a nerd, and now being a nerd is like the coolest thing ever, and I think that's awesome. Like, nerds turn me on, so I'm fine with it. But I feel like it's almost like people that get lots of tattoos and they think they're being really unique because they have like a Chinese symbol tattooed on their arm, but like a lot of people have that. So it's like there was a point where it was unique, but it's not that unique anymore. And I don't mean any offense to anyone that has that, but I just think that there was a time, you know, growing up in the 80s and the 90s, you know, you would get your ass kicked if you were a nerd. And now it's almost this like, just this cool thing, you know. Although I do think still kids in high school give other kids a hard time for being nerdy, but it's a different type of nerdiness that people take issue with. But tell me your thoughts.
You know, I personally think that the trends changed. I think that it started for me. I noticed when, okay, nerdism is getting kind of cool when San Diego Comic-Con started becoming like a celebrity-based type thing. Right around the time when Iron Man with Robert Downey Jr. came out. And that was, what, 2008, I think that movie came out. And then like a year before that, I think it was like The Dark Knight with Heath Ledger. So it's like around that time, I think, is when it kind of became, I'm going to wear a Batman shirt to school, and it's not going to be looked at as like, oh, look at that comic geek. It's like, that movie was badass. I think when the movies got good, it became safe to liking characters. And I feel bad for the real nerds who dedicated their nerd time where they were told, hey, go, you know, like, you're not cool enough to hang out with us. So what they did is they took their comic books and sat on the bench by themselves, reading, learning, knowing these characters, falling for these characters. And then society now, it's like everywhere, and they're the ones going, hey, I used to love this, and they're still getting that kind of like, shut up, nerd, you know what I mean? Like, this is ours now. They kind of got taken from them. And I think that if you're a true nerd nowadays, you kind of gave up on all the trendy characters and all the trendy things. Like, Batman is now so trendy that I think that you know, like, people just kind of blow that off now. The Joker, hence my shirt, my hat, you know, it's like, it's, you can go to Hot Topic now. Hot Topic used to be bands, music, and stuff. You go in there, now it's just Nerd City, all based on these movies. So I would say around then is when society went flip, you know, now nerds are cool. And then the glasses that don't have a prescription, but people wear the nerd glasses, like, that's a look. You know, I have a thing for glasses. I always have. Like, I love girls wearing glasses, but now I just feel like they're lying to me because, like, 90% of them are wearing these fake glasses. And I'm like, no, I like the real ones. You know what I mean? Like,
how dare you not be visually impaired?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I mean, I think that was the bonus of, like, dating me, like, when you had glasses. It was like, take your glasses off. You didn't see me on my bad days. I counted on that. Now I just feel like you're lying. That's all.
it's all a scam. I totally agree. Well, you know, you said a few things that really resonated for me, and I wanted to kind of comment on them. First of all, I totally agree. I think the more advanced and the more high-tech and just visually amazing these movies became, the more they became forces to be reckoned with. You know, people that used to make fun of nerds were getting into these sort of nerdy topics because they were being, you know, explored in these cool ways with these blockbuster films. Hey, Justin just got a compliment on his hat. Hey, we gotta run with this for a minute.
You see what I mean? Like right there, I'm wearing a Joker hat, and it's now become socially acceptable that people see the hat and they'll go, "That's a cool hat." When I was 10 years old, if I had worn a Batman ha 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 Joker hat like I'm wearing today, I'm pretty sure I would have gotten something thrown at my head. Or I would have been insulted. Yeah, who knows? I don't know that kid. I don't know him by, you know, he's running the stand right there, I think. He's selling getaways to San Diego.
And he looks like a surfer, by the way, which is exactly your point about how kind of cool and trendy nerdy stuff has become.
Yeah. And it's just kind of in that sense of like, you know, I think the cool kids jumped on the bandwagon of the nerds. And then once that gets drained, once the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe run out of movies, I feel like it'll come back around, just like in the 60s and 70s, the comic books were at the highest point, 80s, 90s, they died out. Now you go to comic book stores are coming back. When I was a kid, I loved comic book stores, but you couldn't find them anywhere. Now they're everywhere. You go anywhere, I guarantee there is a shop in here that sells comic books, and 5 years ago, you wouldn't have seen that at all. It's all just growing, it's growing in that sense of like, ooh, we have to fight this, I feel, as nerds. But, you know, we're not going to do that because we're nerds. We just kind of sit back, take it, and get beat up by it.
Because we're just too afraid. But,
we're afraid of wedgies.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's gotten a wedgie can attest to that. You know, the thing that I wanted to say earlier, though, about some of the points you made was, first off, you know, you talked about how mainstream a lot of stuff has become. And then you brought up something that's very near and dear to my heart, which is the store Hot Topic. You know, I was a teenager in the mid to late 90s. I can't believe I'm like putting an age on myself on this podcast because I'm a woman and I'm not supposed to do that. But fuck that. I'm just going to say it. So I was a teenager growing up in the 90s, and I was a punk and a goth during that time. I would have to say I shopped mostly at Hot Topic for all of my clothes, band t-shirts, gothic outfits. Oh, I have to say my absolute favorite band back then and still is today is Nine Inch Nails.
Trent Reznor?
Yeah, I am obsessed with Trent Reznor and anything Nine Inch Nails related. I am a diehard fan, and I've seen them live like 4 times, and I would see them, you know, every time they tour, I'll go back and see them. And but I was one of the original Marilyn Manson fans.
Okay, so Marilyn Manson, did you believe the myth? Where he took out a rib so he could be able to give himself oral?
I don't believe that myth. No, no, I don't believe it because I think Marilyn Manson was such a whore that he could have just gotten it from anyone, especially back then in the 90s. He could have had just any woman or man that he wanted back then. He was like, people probably would have been afraid to say no to him back then. You know what I mean?
He was on top of his game. I remember when Dope Show came out. That was like, I think, 98, 97. And I remember MTV, when MTV was good for me anyway, the Video Music Awards, when they had bands play and stuff like that. And he performed in that that female bodysuit, that blue bodysuit. I still remember that, you know, and I couldn't tell you who was even on the show last year. But, you know, that's a whole nother genre. But it's funny to hear that you're a gothic. So you were a different type of nerd.
I was the nerd of the darkest sense. I was, to be honest, it came from a place of being depressed. And I think all goths can kind of relate to some level of depression or like mood disturbance when they're, you know, a teenager and they're trying to find their place in the world and they're not like the most popular kid. And the goth community just really embraces that. It's like, hey, be one of us and We'll listen to music, we'll hang out. And, you know, it was the most ironic thing of all about being a goth was the way that my friends and I dressed and presented ourselves were very outcast. You know, we were...
Like, is the premise of goth, like, to purposely make yourself outcast? Like, you're almost asking for attention?
Well, for me and my friends, it wasn't. It was just, honest to goodness, we liked the fashion. Like, we just liked the way it looked. We liked the music that it represented. We liked wearing black and Doc Martens and, you know, fishnet stockings. And we liked shopping at Hot Topic. And, you know, we liked all those things and all those the things that it stood for. So for us, it wasn't like we tried to be outcasts, but when the preppies and the jocks look at us, you know, a close friend of mine actually in high school, she would get really badly bullied for being goth. And they would say, oh, you sacrifice animals and you drink their blood, you know, all that shit. And, oh, can we curse on this? Oh, fuck it. Great. Yeah. Awesome. Oh, I love it. All right, perfect. So anyway, the bottom line is that, you know, my friend was bullied, and all those kids, the jocks and all them, you know, they thought we were bad kids. They thought we partied, that we drank, we did drugs. And you know what? We were good kids. Like, what did we do? We hung out at the mall. We went to the park. We listened to some Marilyn Manson or, you know, whatever, Tool, you know, Nine Inch Nails. We went to concerts. We went to local punk shows. And that was about it. You know, we weren't getting drunk and fucked up on the weekends. The jocks and the preppies were getting drunk and fucked up on the weekends. So those were the bad kids. But because they wore Abercrombie and Fitch, nobody knew any better.
Yeah, I think the goths got picked on a little bit. Even by teachers and, you know, by adults, they didn't understand it. They wondered, why the black lipstick? Why the dark? You know, and then I think people mixed it up with, satanic, that sort of thing. And I remember as a kid, I mean, I was a metalhead as a kid, you know, a teenager. So I loved Deftones. I liked Incubus. I liked that kind of stuff. You know, early Incubus. And then they got really... You know, the stuff you play for your girlfriend when she came over. That was what Incubus was used for later in life. However, or if you had good Deftone taste, you did their B-side rarities. They did No Ordinary Love. They did the Sade cover, which was really good. Have you ever heard that one? Yeah, low. Download that one. That one's good. Anyway, so I relate to you in that sense of, like, I listened to a style of music that kind of portrayed me in, like, he's a metalhead, he's a chubby dude, big guy. I wasn't a jock. I was a theater kind of nerdy guy, but I listened to
it. I was in theater too.
Oh, well, there you go. So now we're learning something. There you go. Yeah, I was huge into theater. I played Lenny in Mice and Men in high school. I always was acting. I was always trying to perform. And so I didn't get a chance to even, like, be looked at as, like, the cool kid. I was so busy in my own thing, which I think is what makes nerds nerds. I think nerds obsess. They get into their thing. That they find their thing and they stick to it and they obsess about it, which is what geeking out came from. And I think now it's just like, because it's so accessible to be a nerd, you know, it's just like you can go to Hot Topic, you can go to Quicksilver store over here and they'll have a Batman shirt in there. I almost guarantee it. Or they'll have a reference of Iron Man or you get what I'm saying. Like, it's just, it's so accessible. It's everywhere. Even the movies, they're only remaking the shit that, like, was nerdy back in the day, like Ghostbusters coming out, and we have the Suicide Squad, which was a B-side rarity comic from a couple years ago, and now they're like, oh, let's make a movie about that. So they do all of that, you know, and just kind of, they've stolen it, I guess is my bitching point.
Right. I think you bring up some good points, but then I wanted to sort of circle back to, you know, my theory of when nerdiness became popular, and I want to talk about a different type of nerd, because this is kind of connected to what my theory is, do you remember the film Napoleon Dynamite?
Yes, I do. I actually obsessed about that movie when it came out, so yeah.
So did I. It was one of my favorites. It still is one of my favorites. When it first came out, I saw it in the theater like three times. I thought it was... Oh, gotta love Uncle Rico. Just, you know, you gotta love Napoleon and how socially awkward and just sad of a character. He, you know, trying to fit in, trying to get a girl. He ends up, you know, doing just fine for himself, and you're rooting for him all the way. But you know, I remember when that movie came out, and I felt like that was the turning point for nerds, because that was a protagonist.
That's a damn good point. That's true, because when that movie came out, it became funny to wear the Vote for Pedro shirts, and it almost started like as a joke, like you were poking fun, but then it was like, but I love the movie, and cool people started wearing the damn thing. So yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right, and you know what? They had all sorts of Napoleon Dynamite swag at Hot Topic, and I bought myself a t-shirt that said, I heart ND. People thought it was like, you know, North Dakota, and I was like, no, it's Napoleon Dynamite, you know, and it had like a little picture of him on it dancing. But anyway, you know, when Napoleon Dynamite came out, he was... Ooh, someone's leering at me. That's interesting. But anyway, when Napoleon Dynamite came out, that was, I felt, the turning point for nerds. It was a film with a nerdy protagonist, and you felt so sad for him, yet so empowered by him at the same time. And I felt like that's when things really turned around. And then now we've got, you know, Sheldon on The Big Bang Theory, again, making the nerdy look and the nerdy social awkwardness cool again. So that's where I find my attraction to nerds, is that socially awkward, weird person who just can't quite fit in, but has so much to offer and so much to give, and you know, you just want to sort of get to know them. Like, that's what's interesting for me.
Now, let's get personal for a second, get to know you a little bit. You're engaged.
Yes.
You have a giant rock on your finger there that you let the world know it. How long have you been engaged? How long have you known your guy? Is he anything like Napoleon?
Okay, that's so interesting. My guy, first of all, we've been together like 8 years, and we've been engaged for 1 year now. So we were together for a while before we got engaged. And thank you for complimenting my giant rock. I love it. It's just amazing. And it validates me as a woman. I'm just kidding. I'm just saying what, you know, women think but don't really have the balls to say. But anyway, I love my guy. He is, I would have to say this. He's not a nerd in the sense that we talk about nerds. He doesn't really know anything about comics. He doesn't really, you know, he's not socially awkward like Napoleon Dynamite. He's nothing like Sheldon, but he is a very smart man, and his brain makes him that sort of unique, you know, where sometimes he'll say something or think about something, and we also have a very similar sense of humor. So it's like he'll say or think something that a lot of other people might not get or might find, you know, confusing or off base, but it's just him being his natural self, which, you know, is just, I would classify him as being unique. But he could definitely fit in with your jocks and with those types of people. But at the same time, he's got something about him that makes him different. And I'll give you an example. He was also a theater guy in high school, and he was a musician. You know, he played piano, he played guitar, he wrote songs, he sang. So he has a lot of talent that that nerds can relate to, and you know, he came into his own in high school, like doing all of that stuff and getting into acting and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, he doesn't really know anything about the trends of nerdiness, but he does know a lot about pop culture, and that's something that newer nerds know about, is pop culture. They will follow big people on Instagram and Twitter. Like, they will know what's going on in social media. They'll go to Comic-Con and know about, like, you know, celebrities, and he's really good at knowing about that stuff. Like, he'll tell me fun little facts about Selena Gomez or Justin Bieber that I'd be like, how did you know that? And he'll be like, oh, I heard it on the radio.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, with the way you described him a little bit, he's a nerd in a sense then. He's a nerd in, like, the pop culture world and stuff like that. All right, I'm looking at the time here. We've actually hit our 30 minutes. We went fast. That was cool. I hope you guys got a taste of what this show's about. We're going to talk about nerd stuff, but here's my invite to you. First off, do me a favor. We're sponsored by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a nerd, geek, gamer subscription box that you can get once a month. It's all themed out. It's pretty cool. This month is called Futuristic. So here's how we're going to help you from the Nerd Sack. Go to thenerdsack.com. You're going to see the banners everywhere on that website. Click on the Loot Crate banner. You're going to get $5 off your first month subscription. Already, the first month subscription, if you get the basic box, is $13.95 plus shipping. You're saving $5 off that. You're getting basically a $5 box, basically, is what it kind of comes out to after tax, all that jazz. Get it. Go to thenerdsack.com, click on the Loot Crate banner, and save yourself $5.
Because you can't get cheaper box anywhere else.
That's very true. That's very true. All right, guys, thank you guys so much for listening. Again, thank you, Mimi, for joining us on the Nerd Sack podcast and becoming the co-host of the show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think we're getting a taste of what we're doing here. I think we're getting... we're getting the vibe down, and I think next week we'll come back with a theme. We'll discuss something that's on our minds and get it out and, you know.
And also, I wanted to let our listeners know to go ahead and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. So I'm on Instagram at Mimi Baranova, and then also on Twitter as Mimi Baranova.
Yes, and you can follow me at Justin Arredondo. You can figure out the spelling on Twitter, or easier on Instagram at JReich, or the same on Snapchat at JReich. You can find me on there. And also, do me a favor, facebook.com/thenerdsack. Yes, the Nerd Sack is where you're going to find that page. Go ahead and give that a like. We're going to be adding cool stuff to it. Probably here's part of the podcast on there. Also, if you're listening to us on iTunes right now, click on that subscribe button. Then you'll get us guaranteed every week on your phone after we're done recording this, after we're done spewing our whatever it is into your ears, having a good time with it. Mimi, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Justin.
All right, and we will see you guys next week on the Nerd Sack Podcast.